My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. These are the clarion words Mary spoke to her cousin Elizabeth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear friends in Jesus Christ, before I go ahead with the Feast of the Assumption, I just would like to inform you once again, you know, just as human beings, we need to remind ourselves that there are three distinct features in today's feast, three distinct features. The first is the Immaculate Conception, we celebrate on the 8th of December. The second is the Ascension, that we celebrate is 40 days after Easter. And the third, the natural consequence of the Immaculate Conception, the feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of the Assumption. There's a great difference, my dear brothers and sisters, in the ascension of Jesus into heaven and of Mary being assumed into heaven. And what is the difference? The difference is at the ascension, Jesus, the Son of God, by his own power, you know, raises himself and goes to be with the Father and the Spirit there, to a place that you and I call heaven. There. The assumption, which is a natural consequence of the Immaculate Conception, because Mary was conceived immaculate, and hence she could not go through any kind of corruption there, like you and I go through there. She was taken up, rightly so, you see, by her son Jesus. So she was carried, assumed, engulfed, you see. Naturally, the great reward that her son gives to her, having allowed himself to be born, you know, through her womb. And that's why, that's the difference between the assumption and the ascension. And the assumption is a natural consequence, as I said earlier, of the Immaculate Conception. And so now, in today's gospel, Mary is a young girl going to visit a much older cousin, Elizabeth. Mary had just been visited by the angel Gabriel and heard these words, "Hail, full of grace." Naturally, she was immaculate. "Hail, full of grace." And he goes on to say, "The Lord is with you." In other words, God's Son is with you. At that moment, at that very instant, our faith tells us that she was conceived in her womb, she conceived in her womb Jesus, the Savior. And that was the beginning of the promise that God made to Adam and Eve and to all of us. The first Adam sinned, sin came into the world, death came into the world, anxieties and all the things that happened came into the world. But immediately, God the Father promised that there will be a new Adam, will once again, you see, rectify the fault, you see. Today's feast, my dear brothers and sisters, honors Mary, for God himself has honored her. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Can you imagine? A teenager, we do not know anything about her background. We do not know her education. But what she was speaking, what she was uttering in the Magnificat was through the Holy Spirit. Powerful words there, you see. God rewarded her in a very unique way. But today's feast also, my dear brothers and sisters, is very, very important. And I think we are really fortunate that the feast now today falls on a Sunday, because most of us go for Mass on Sundays. And here the feast is a feast of hope, a feast of hope. Christ came, as he said in John's Gospel, that we might have fullness of life. Mary was chosen that we might again enter into heaven. There goes the point. Eve closed the gates of heaven. Eve, close the gates of heaven. Mary, open the gates of heaven for us. And so, when our journey, my dear brothers and sisters, comes to an end there, in this life, whenever it is there, we have a fuller life, a much perfect life. I really believe, myself, that, you know, when we die, when my parents died, when my friends died, when your friends, your parents, your husbands or wives, whatever, die, they immediately go back to heaven. They go back to heaven. And going into heaven, just like we living in the United States, if we call ourselves American, people in heaven, our family, our friends, see, since they are citizens of heaven, they are called saints. What upper? Great, something to think about there. So not to fear death. Mary didn't fear death. Mary can help us find a way to draw closer to Jesus, to one another. In John's Gospel, the beloved disciple, a model of all of us followers of Christ, the dying Jesus, just before Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Immediately, Jesus from the cross looks down on his mother, looks down on the beloved disciples, and says to him, says, "Mary as his mother," and Mary stole to take John as his disciple there. Mary's questions in the gospel narrates all our answers. How is it that God can work through such instruments? Why does God sometimes seem to hide us from what we search for? So many of us sometimes, you see, we get despondent, you know, we get desperate, we give into depression, we pray, we go on pilgrimages, we light candles, we make novenas, hoping for a favor. The favor doesn't happen, maybe because that's God's will. But the end result of that is, my dear brothers and sisters, the tasteless waters of our lives be turned into the life-giving wine. Another very important point on today's feast. We do not hear very much about Mary in the Gospels. Not very much. You see, as you know, for 30 years, Jesus was, you know, in the family there, preparing for his ministry. Yeah. The first time we hear about Mary, as Jesus was growing up in the temple, if you remember, when they came, you see, to baptize him, you know, that was a custom there. Instead of going back in the crowd, he remained on, as the gospel tells us. Remember? For 3 days, they didn't realize where he was. They retraced their steps, and they found him teaching, sitting among the lawyers, among the Pharisees, among those questioning him. And Mary, like a concerned mother, said to him, son, doesn't the mother say to her children, son, daughter, you see, son, why have you done this to us? Jesus, you know, Mary complains to him, why have you done this to us? And what did Jesus say? I have to be about my Father's business. At the first sight, it might appear to be rough there, a back answer. No, because Mary was gradually beginning to understand. You have to understand, see, she was a young mother. She was gradually growing into the role of being the mother of God and our mother. The second time that we hear about Mary is, have you ever thought of that? The very first miracle that Christ performed was at Cana of Galilee. You remember that? You see, thereby giving an institution, giving marriage a great credence and importance, you see. And again, Mary, like a concerned mother, a concerned guest, she sees the wine, you know, coming to an end in the barrels. She looks at her son, who are guests there, and she says, they have no more wine. They have no more wine, you know. And Jesus says, but that is not our concern. Rightly so, they are guests. It's not our concern. And in spite of that, Mary tells the waiters, go and fill, you see, the barrels with water. And immediately that was changed, the water was changed to wine there. And so you see, my brothers and sisters, Mary is our mother. Mary is our intercessor. Mary is our friend. Mary is always close to us there. How fortunate all of us are. We once again is in a church dedicated to Mary. We are really privileged. Our Lady, Help of Christians, you see. For myself, you see, I've had a great devotion to our Blessed Mother right from the very beginning. Yeah. I really feel privileged. The church in India where I was baptized, you see, was called Our Lady of Mount Carmel. You have heard that name, right? Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Where I received my communion and confirmation, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I came back to be ordained a priest in the same church there where it was being built, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I was really privileged there, you see, to be under the tutelage of our Blessed Mother. In my assignments, the very second assignment in the United States, in New York, was Our Lady of Lourdes. Yeah, Our Lady of Lourdes. The fourth assignment as a priest in Long Island was Maria Regina. Maria Regina. The very first assignment of mine as a pastor was a Lady of the Miraculous Medal. Can you imagine? I really feel privileged. Mary has gotten me through trials and troubles, days up and down there. And then it doesn't stop there, you see, it doesn't stop there. I come here to South Carolina. When I retire, I come here to South Carolina. Again, it's not a coincidence, it's God's plan. I'm in North Augusta. And what's the name of the church? Our Lady Way of Peace, right? I was there for some time. And now I'm here happy to be with you again, our Blessed Mother, Our Lady, Help of Christians. The point I'm trying to come across, my dear brothers and sisters, is devotion to Mary will always be rewarded. Devotion to Mary will always be rewarded. And many of the saints said, to Jesus through Mary. To Jesus through Mary. Finally, once again, to remind ourselves, all of you know this, right? The beads, right? Beads. When all is said and done, when sometimes we cannot go to church, when you need to pray, what do? We go through our beads, right? We say our rosaries, you know. Rosaries and rosaries and rosaries there. Have you ever realized, have you ever noticed when the funeral director, you know, lays our bodies in the coffin? Have you ever realized, noticed that the hands are covered with the rosary? Have you noticed that? Anybody? Yes or no? It is. Again, what's the significance? The meaning of that is what we say there, and I end my homily with this. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me, a sinner, now, but especially at the hour of death. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Can you kindly stand, please?